Welcome to WCG Talks Trials, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of clinical research, sharing the latest trends, insights, and best practices from experts across the industry. In each episode of WCG Talks Trials, we'll explore a different area of the clinical trial industry while featuring a diverse range of clinical research and medical professionals. If you're passionate about advancing clinical research, improving patient outcomes, and driving healthcare forward, then WCG Talks Trials is the right podcast for you. We are so glad you could join us today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carmen Gade, Chief Marketing Officer at WCG, and I'm thrilled to be your host for today's episode, Magi at Home, Practical Intelligence, Real Life Examples, Actionable Information. Before we dive in, let me remind you to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on your favorite listening platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so you never miss an episode of WCG Talks Trials. We are joined today by several exciting guests and members of our Magi Steering Committee, Jennifer Peterson, Director, Head of Quality at M3 Wake Research, and Jeffrey Schick, Director, Strategic Site Partnerships at WCG. Thank you both so much for joining us. It's great to be with you again. So today we're focusing on how the recent Magi at Home conference provided practical intelligence, real life examples, and actionable information for novice and veteran clinical trial professionals. But before we get started, we like to start all of our conversations off by getting to know our guests a little bit more. So my question for both of you this afternoon, do you have an overall reflection to share about the Magi at Home event? And Jeffrey, why don't we start with you?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And I appreciate sharing my thoughts on this. So I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical on how the Magi at Home conference would be received. But I think looking back on it, it brought some very strong aspects and was extremely well received in terms of the numbers of participants that logged in to hear the speakers. I would say one of the more refreshing things, or the way I like the conference best, was the tightness and the rapid fire topics that were able to be brought forward in terms of, without taking entire days, but have blocks of the days and every hour a new topic that allowed really kind of to get new perspectives and thoughts. The downside, of course, was being virtual and not being able to carry on conversations or really develop relationships, have a part of those sessions and carry it forward into lunch breaks or sessions in the hallway between sessions and really kind of dive a little deeper with other conference attendees or presenters to get a little bit deeper. So that's probably a pro and a con, so to speak. But I think overall, I was thrilled with the energy of the conference and the number of attendees that came back day in, day out for the sessions.
Absolutely. It was impressive engagement. Jennifer, what about you?
Thanks for having me. Me too. I was really surprised with the turnout for the Magi at Home. And for me, what I enjoyed most was really the work conference balance, being able to balance my work and then carving through the day. Like Jeff said, the rapid fire sessions were great. And it was really great to also see the chat. I really loved the lively chat throughout the sessions. You could always see where someone hit a hot spot in their topic and really seeing the personalities of everyone coming through and the lively discussion that was occurring on chat. And then, of course, through the Q&A. But on the flip side of that was also that what I would consider a con is that you were balancing the work and conference life, and that work inevitably came through. And unfortunately, there was a session that maybe I would really wanted to attend and then work came through and I wasn't face-to-face at the conference. And I did have to unfortunately miss a session because there was something going on. I had to end up doing the recording. So there was that thing I missed, being able to, you know, be away from the desk and being 100% at the conference. So, but again, I was really, really surprised with the turnout, and the Magi at Home was a great experience.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear. Okay. Well, thank you again, both of you, for being here and taking some time to talk about the event and key takeaways and insights. Before we dig in real deep, I do want to clarify for some of our listeners who maybe haven't attended a Magi event before and what exactly we're talking about in terms of what is a Magi event. And really, these are events that unite clinical research professionals who are passionate about transforming clinical research to change lives and improve lives and enhance lives. There's comprehensive programs offered that provide those practical tips and examples and training that you've heard Jennifer and Jeffrey speaking of. And this is all delivered by distinguished faculty for all experience levels of clinical research professionals. So with that as a baseline, let's dive right in. And why is it important for clinical research professionals to engage in educational programs like Magi at Home? Jennifer, maybe I'll throw this one to you first.
Sure. So really, from a career development perspective, staying current on changes in the industry, whether it's changes in regulations, which of course is where I'm coming from a quality and regulatory perspective, or even technological changes that may impact one's position in the future, speaking on that the career development aspect, that's something that Magi brings in terms of topics. So that's, you know, first and foremost key. So that in itself is something that Magi offers, and that's extremely important to the platform of Magi, keeping up to date on the latest trend. And that's, again, something that has always been important to me with respect to Magi. My first Magi was in 2009, so long ago. I'm going to age myself. And that networking aspect that even comes through with Magi, whether it's Magi at Home or not, that type of interaction is something that even in itself, there were educational aspects that were coming through even in the chat that we're pulling through from sites and from site organizations and from institutions and sponsors, and to see that level of activity that you wouldn't see in normal day-to-day life. Everyone's in their kind of silos, so to speak. And so seeing that come through in that Magi setting is in itself one educational experience. So for sure, is something that Magi offers.
Oh, that's great. You have that level of connectivity among those participants. What about you, Jeffrey?
So I would echo Jennifer's thoughts on the value of the role-specific educational opportunities and ability to stay current with topics. But I'll go one step farther in terms of that. I really believe that a lot of the value of in-person conferences and larger conferences comes with developing relationships and networking. And I think when you get a larger conference like Magi that has traditionally had up to 600 or so research professionals like ourselves, and the ability to build those relationships can help in so many ways. One is being able to pick up the phone when a hot topic arises and get different opinions. Two is being able to find people. If you're looking for someone to help lead your compliance team or someone to help take over your study startup and contracting team at a site, is being able to pick up the phone or send emails and find recommendations on people that could be good to fill some of those roles, as well as your own career development and opportunities as well. There's just no substitute for the ability at a larger multi-day conference to be able to make those connections of your peer groups as well as across the aisle. I mean, I think one of the advantages that Magi has had over the years has been participation from sponsors and CROs to be able to actually physically meet the individual that you're negotiating clinical trial agreement language with or a study budget with. I've had that experience at Magi sessions before. And Jennifer, you're not dating yourself because my first Magi was 2007. So,
there you go.
those are the types of opportunities I think can't be downplayed, is developing those relationships. And there's just no substitute for that environment that a conference like Magi brings.
Absolutely. No, that's great to hear. And I know we have so many participants who attend each year due to that quality and quantity of education offerings. I know we typically offer 45 plus different sessions, not to mention the collegiality and relationships that both of you mentioned. So uniting together those professionals who all have a shared purpose and a desire and passion around advancing clinical research and how to do that in the best, most efficient, safe, high quality manner. Now, that's great insights. So what do you feel is most important when selecting topics and presenters? And you're both members of the steering committees, so you are actively engaged in helping curate the content for these events, especially Magi at Home and Magi face-to-face events. But what do you feel is most important when we're looking at those topics and the distinguished faculty that we bring on board? And Jeffrey, why don't we go to you first on this one?
Sure. So I have the unenviable assignment of actually trying to design or select topics and fill speaking spots for three of the tracks at the Magi: the clinical trial agreement negotiation, budget negotiation, and compliance. So it's a little bit different in terms of considering topics is one is for compliance, especially since we get continuing education units for those that are certified through HCCA. We want to make sure that we have a strong enough curriculum and materials being covered for them to be able to successfully get those credits to be able to renew their certifications, et cetera. So that becomes kind of a preeminent consideration, is making sure the topics are focused to make sure we have the that box checks, so to speak, when working with HCCA. Versus study budget negotiation is a little bit more practical, amorphous. We've got more flexibility in terms of what the content can actually be, which allows us to be a little bit more creative. The clinical trial agreements fall somewhere in between those two. But with those initial baseline considerations in terms of flexibility in there, probably the most important aspect, I think, is matching up a speaker and that speaker's interest on the topic, is to bring that passion out to really get the best presentation possible. I don't know about Jennifer, she can speak, but I work with the Magi team, with Billy, with others, et cetera. We look back at old sessions. We kind of propose what might be the conference sessions. And as we cast that net out there looking for speakers, we encourage those who have interest to propose new topics. And I think what's been exciting in the last few weeks as we've started planning for April is some of the new topics and teams of speakers that are coming together to say, hey, myself and two other colleagues from different organizations, we've got this idea. We can put this stuff together. And there's so much passion in there. It becomes an automatic yes. And it's easy to plug them in. You know that they're excited about it and they're going to deliver a great session. And so that's probably that passion and that matching of speakers who really like the topics they're speaking on is really what generates, I think, a great conference. And we're lucky enough because Magi has got a longstanding reputation and a history of delivering quality results. And as you said, returning attendees that come back again and again, to be able to have individuals that want to be on that stage, want to be able to share the information and have conversations. And so we get a lot of that passion that helps in the delivery of the information to conference attendees that are there to learn. So I think finding those aspects and matching speakers to topics really is an art, but it's so fun with this group of people who have interest in Magi.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Jennifer, what about from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, in the quality and reg space, you know, especially over the last few years, we really haven't been hard pressed for topics, because with COVID and the COVID pandemic has really helped the regulations. They've changed some guidelines that the FDA has released. We've also had the ICHR3 draft guidelines that have been just recently released, the updated ICF guidelines. So we've had some really big, hard-hitting topics that have come out. And so with that, have emerged some really passionate speakers on those topics. But the one thing that we really look for, and especially within Magi, is these types of regulations and changes impact a site differently than they impact a CRO, and impact a CRO differently than they impact a sponsor. So we really do have to kind of look at our speakers a little bit differently, because our audience is different too. And so whether or not we need to have a mix of speakers for a certain topic, because we know our audience is going to be a mix of attendees. So that's different. And we want to offer that here at Magi, because we know our audience is a mix of all three. And that's important to us. So that's something that was for Magi at home, and taking a look at the attendees, we did know that when it was getting ready to start, that we did have a lot of site attendees. And so what we did there was we really tried to curate some of our topics more geared towards some of our sites, because one, it was really exciting to have so many site attendees, but also in our speakers for that as well. What are the impact of these regulations, such as the ICF, and presenting topics that were geared towards providing ICF to the participants, and what the new regulations and guidelines meant for that. So that's what we look for as well. I think, like Jeffrey said, passion is something that is never short here in terms of our faculty. But again, it's just curating the right speakers for the right topics. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, and it seems you both are doing a phenomenal job in helping to curate those topics that are going to be most impactful to the attendees. And from what I hear from attendees that I've spoken with, is that the content is so valuable and on point that they can often leave the conference and implement some of the learnings immediately in their organizations. And you don't always get that opportunity. So, and to your point, Jennifer, Magi at Home, there were a lot of organizations and sites who sent their entire teams to benefit from the learnings. So great, great job. And thank you for all of your help to ensure we have the distinguished faculty that we do. So as you think about Magi at Home, and what are the key takeaways from the conference? And or what is the value and impact of Magi at Home from your perspective? Jennifer, maybe we'll go to you first on this one.
Let me go back with the key takeaway, because it was pretty much a thread kind of woven throughout the quality and regulatory tracks, was this bring back the basics. I think where attendees wanted to take a step back and really kind of recall, relearn, remember how we got here in clinical trials and the history of clinical trials. For instance, George Gasparis was one of our speakers. And for a piece of his session, he focused a little on the foundation of our industry, going back to Declaration of Helsinki and the Belmont Report. And there was so much of the attendees that just latched onto that going, and that's how we all started, right? That was part of our initial training when we first came on board in clinical trials. And there was so much comments about that piece, and we want more of that. We want to go back to that. I forgot about that, which shouldn't forget, but I want to go back to that. Can we have more sessions about that? Which was exciting, because it's all about, I think we all focused on that during COVID, going back to the purpose of why we're here. And so now we're kind of thinking about that towards April, towards New Orleans, going back to our purpose and why we're all here. Also about the art of the informed consent. Let's go back to why we have the informed consent, and let's relearn how to best do the informed consent. So I was really excited about that, kind of getting back to the basics. So that would be the takeaway that I think we all kind of sat back and said, yeah, people want to go back and kind of almost relearn about it again. And especially for us old timers, I guess, let's relearn why we're here. Let's re-energize our passion and our purpose. So that was a really exciting takeaway. Maybe that's because we were all just in a different place. We were all kind of magi at home, right?
So. Right. Absolutely. No, that's great. What about you, Jeffrey?
So, and this may be somewhat related, but I think one of the key takeaways that I learned and had offline conversations with a lot of the faculty for Magi at Home was the number and the percentage of conference attendees that were new in their roles. Within billing compliance and the budget negotiation tracks, we typically did a little bit of know your audience and always ask the question, how long have you been in your role? And almost always we were looking at 75, 80% of the people that were tuning in were a year, give or take a few months, were around a year in their role that really knew into this industry, into these aspects. And so there has been a lot of new faces that have come into the industry, come into clinical trials research administration type aspect, that are, to Jennifer's point, to almost have to go back to some of the basis, to the why do we need to use the coding? What's the origin of, you know, determining standard of care and why we negotiate that with sponsors and to make sure that your budgets are compliant? How does that fit into compliance aspect to ensure that your site is protected? A lot of that became very clear just based on the audience mixture that there was a big need for that type of education. And again, I think that's where Magi at Home was very timely and delivered value to a broad range of individuals that could participate, that didn't have to travel to get to conferences and had that aspect. And it didn't allow us, again, to my point earlier, to go super deep into a lot of the conferences. But at that point in time, it seemed like we struck home in terms of exactly what our audience was looking for, was those basics that helped them reinforce some of their core knowledge or help them understand what pieces they need to shore up on before they get deeper into some of the materials there. So it was timely, and I think it was very effective in the methodology by which we were able to engage with those early in their research administration career.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you both comment on that and that shared purpose and people going back to the basics and going back to the why we're all here. I hear from many attendees of Magi that their careers started with Magi, that it's where it all began, and then they continue. And so from our experience, we've seen Magi over the years not only grow, right? And we have everyone from early in their careers to very experienced clinical research professionals, but we've been able to develop a very strong alumni base. You two are both testaments to that, that come back year after year. And why do you think that is? Why has Magi been so successful in developing strong alumni and having that continued engagement year after year? And maybe Jeffrey, we'll start with you on this one.
Sure. So this is where I sit back in my chair and I go, well, back in my day when Magi started.
Right.
But no, I think Magi has shown durability and the ability to be a long-term solution. A lot of it's set early in that. So in late 2000, 2007, 2009, from there was a big focus in billing compliance on the Medicare coverage analysis. It was newer. There were a few consultants out there that were able to teach people how to do it. Sites were just beginning to adopt it. And more importantly, we were trying to figure out how to get sponsors to pay for it. And through a lot of the work at Magi in terms of conversations, sharing of ideas, and having conversations between sites and sponsors, that has become more the norm now, where there's very few sponsors that don't expect to see in their study startup fees some component of a startup fee for the billing compliance analysis, the Medicare coverage analysis. That's become the norm. And I'm not going to say it's only because Magi took up that topic, but it was sites and sponsors and CROs coming together and understanding the need for it, the value that it brought in, and how it's become known. And I think that same concept translates over other pieces. When you get 400, 500, 600 clinical research leaders, whether you're a leader in title or just in personality, together to talk about topics such as virtual consenting, or billing compliance, or a lot of different aspects potentially out there, and have those across the aisle conversations, understanding can take leaps forward. And I think that helps normalize and bring certain change efforts into the mainstream, maybe a little bit closer, not across the board, but with between certain parties and certain partners. And I think, again, that's where Magi has delivered now for 15 plus years, is being able to bring all stakeholders together, have those conversations, better understand where each side is coming from, and able to bring ideas into everyday practice and make them real. And I think that's why we get so many repeat attendees. I think that's why the passion and the dedication to the Magi conferences is so strong, where we have individuals who are national speakers. I'm talking about in April, how they can go from one conference where they're presenting on a Sunday to be at Magi by Monday because they don't want to miss it. I mean, we have those conversations are going on where people are trying to figure out their calendars. And that's a testament not only to the agenda that's set out there, but the people that attend and the value of being there in person to actually have conversations and move the needle forward in whatever topic that strikes your passion or strikes your interest based on your role. And again, that's where Magi delivers, I think, long-term value, is through people affecting change, because you get like-minded people together that want to help move things forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's something for everybody there. That's great. What about you, Jennifer?
The conference has always been about the practical sharing of knowledge and ideas, and that you can walk away and you don't have to make this huge change within your organization. You can come in and be able to implement something that you've learned from the conference in such an easy way. And that there's an openness within the organization, within the attendees, that there's not this, I have this knowledge and I'm going to hold on to it and I'm not going to share it. So for instance, there's not e-regulatory wasn't just 100% adopted across sites and across CROs and sponsors. It's been baby stepped through the clinical research industry. Not everybody is 100% into e-regulatory. So as everyone's evolved into getting into e-regulatory, people are sharing their hurdles that they've had, and they're openly sharing that. And one of our sessions within Magi at Home was about the complexities of moving into from a paper to e-regulatory. And having that type of openness, of what are your issues? What are your challenges? And people being, you know, sites and CROs sharing those types of issues that they've been having are just, that's just an example of what happens even in sidebar conversations in the hallways at Magi. It's not, this is my intellectual property and I'm not going to share it. It's knowledge. These are the types of conversations that I've had since 2009 when we were having discussions about improving the study startup process for sites and when the startup of smart forms and things like that. So again, it's all about the practical sharing of knowledge and everyone is free with that. Everyone wants to share their passion and how they've made it easy and how, what have you done versus what someone else has done. And that is what has made this conference exciting and what has always made me want to return, what to see what others have to offer and what I can offer as well. So again, excited for April and what's to come. So.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and you both have been talking about this throughout our conversation today, just the level of engagement and whether it be face-to-face, whether it be Magi at home and the conversations happening through the chat. And to your point, folks are attending, they're learning about concepts and they're having follow-on conversations to see how they can enact that. Jeffrey, to your point, like-minded people coming together to affect change and optimize our success, enable our success. And so it's not surprising to me when I look at the numbers too, Magi has a 99% satisfaction rate with 84% of attendees saying it offers greater value than other conferences. So it doesn't surprise me at all that we continue to grow this alumni base, and especially when we have best-in-class leaders like yourselves really leaning in to help ensure that we are bringing forth the content that meets the needs of clinical research professionals today and helps them learn and grow and enable their success in their professional development. So it's clear there's a multitude of benefits to participants of Magi conferences. We talked about the career development, the standardization of best practices for the different education tracks, billing and compliance, budgets, clinical operations, contracts, quality assurance, and regulatory compliance, enabling attendees to keep up to date on latest trends and hot topics, and not to forget the value of the peer-to-peer networking, where we're bringing together all the different stakeholders in clinical research to connect and interact and exchange ideas and grow. So while we've wrapped up Magi at home, we're now turning our focus to 2024, where we'll be back in person for the 2024 Magi Clinical Research Conference that will be held in New Orleans, April 14th. Through 17th. So I know you've both mentioned you're focused on that right now. This will feature multiple learning formats, including pre-conference workshops, panel discussions, lectures, topical solution roundtables, the Magi Innovation Theater, where there's sessions that focus on innovative solutions for day-to-day problems, best practices, career development, and current hot topics. And the WCG Innovation Challenge is back. So that's a very fun and innovative challenge where clinical research professionals present their ideas that they've come up with related to clinical trial site efficiency, increased performance, or quality improvement. And that's a fun and engaging session. I know my calendar is blocked. I know both of yours are as well. You've mentioned it today. And I hope our listeners are planning to meet us in New Orleans. But I do want to thank you both, Jennifer and Jeffrey, for joining us today on this episode of WCG Talks Trials. Your support, your engagement is invaluable to the efforts of Magi and all the participants. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We hope you found this episode insightful. We hope you'll be able to join us on future episodes of WCG Talks Trials. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of WCG Talks Trials. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your preferred listening platform as we continue to explore different areas of the clinical research industry. As always, we encourage you to join in the conversation. Feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future topics you'd like to hear on the show by visiting us at wcgclinical.com/podcast. We're here to serve as a trusted resource as we work to improve lives and accelerate clinical research together.